Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 29th of March. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy. We talk saltwater fly fishing with Captain Matthew Von Sturmer. Our freshwater report is checking, and tonight we'll concentrate on the Taupo and the Rotorua regions. And we will, of course, finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 5th of April. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now, 5th of April. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. Hamilton Anglers Club are holding a kids' fishing day on March the 31st, that Sunday. And it will be at Lake Te Kutu, commonly known as Cambridge Lake, starting at 9 a.m. The event is for kids under 12, and children can learn how to catch fish and use a fishing rod. Kids need a parent or supervisor present, but there will be club members and staff on hand to help out. Now, Pure Fishing New Zealand has kindly donated some Berkeley products and kids' rods, so there will be gear on hand if you don't have any of your own. Fly fishing gear is also available for kids who want to learn how to cast. All children need a fishing license, but the good news is those licenses are free. So it's March 31st, Sunday. Fish and Game has been informed that the Arapuni Dam staff will be shutting down the powerhouse on April the 11th. Anglers should avoid the Arapuni spillway as it will be taken the full flow of the river during the shutdown. Anglers need to be cautious during the shutdown and expect rapidly changing and potentially dangerous conditions in and around the Arapuni spillway. That's April 11th. Be careful. Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand held the National River Fly Fishing Championships last weekend. The top 18 anglers in the country fished the Whanganui River. The anglers fished two sessions on Saturday and two on Sunday. Each session is 3 hours. Now, the results. First place, Corey Scott. Second place, Billy Thropp. In third was Ollie Bassett. Fourth was Lloyd Struthers. And in fifth place was Johannes Krill. Congratulations to those anglers. Well done indeed. Now, the National Lake Fishing Championships are due to be held next weekend. I'm not sure of the venue yet. This still seems to be undecided. After the Lake Fishing Championships, the overall New Zealand Fly Fishing Champion will be named. The Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show is on the internet. How do you find it? Really easy. Go to the website planetaudio.org.nz/hooked on fly fishing. You can listen at a time that suits you. There are also archived interviews with fishing experts on planetaudio.org.nz/hooked on fly fishing. The latest edition of Reel Life came out today, about 2 hours ago. Reel Life is published by Fish and Game New Zealand and covers all freshwater regions in New Zealand. It is sent to your inbox and it is free. So how do you get your copy? It's easy. Go to the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, and search for Reel Life, R-E-E-L Life. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam at xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather. Met Service Auckland Marine Forecast for those who want to do a bit of saltwater fly on the weekend. The situation. A ridge lies over the South Island while the front lies across the North Island. The front moves slowly south today as a northeast flow develops over New Zealand. Another front moves onto the South Island on Sunday, then across the remainder of the country on Monday, followed by another ridge on Tuesday. The forecast for the Manukau Harbour Saturday. Easterly 10 knots, rising to 15 knots for a time in the afternoon. Sea slight, fair visibility and occasional showers. Waitemata Harbour Saturday. Northeast 15 knots, sea slight, fair visibility and occasional showers. Now for the Hauraki Gulf and area from Bremerhead to Cape Colville Saturday. Easterly 20 knots, sea moderate, a few showers, possibly heavy, with poor visibility. The outlook for Sunday, all areas, northeast 15 knots, cloudy periods, with a few showers. Be careful on the water. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Cloudy periods with a chance of showers from afternoon. Afternoon northeast breezes. Sunday in the Waikato, becoming cloudy and a few showers developing north-easterlies. Rotorua forecast, good evening to you anglers down there, Saturday. Cloudy periods with occasional showers from afternoon. Easing, late evening, easterlies. Sunday in Rotorua, showers, northerlies strengthening. Taupo forecast, Saturday. Cloudy periods with occasional showers from afternoon, easing late evening, easterlies. Sunday in Taupo, showers, northerlies strengthening. If you're fishing the Taumanui region, the Whakapapa and the Whanganui rivers, Saturday, cloudy periods with occasional showers from afternoon, easing late evening, light northeasterlies. Sunday in Taumanui, becoming cloudy and a few showers developing, northeasterlies. For our South Island listeners in the Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, fine apart from areas of morning and evening cloud, northeasterlies picking up. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, fine with increasing high cloud, strong northeasterlies, possibly gale northerlies in exposed places later. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Punu River is 23 kilometres south of Tauramutu, is currently at 8.1 metres and rising. It's flowing at 5.2 cubic metres per second. That's up on last week. The next river over, the Mangatutu, is at 1 metre. It's flowing at 1.1 cubic metres per second. These are much needed increases for this river. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahake between Pairoa and Waihee, is currently at 11.8 metres and rising. It's flowing at 2.2 cubic metres per second. It's low and hot. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.12 of a metre, low and slow. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 75.4 metres and falling. It's flowing at 2.6 cubic metres per second. That's low and slow for this river. The Nongatahā River at State Highway 5 is at 1.49 cubic metres per second. The level is 0.68 of a metre. That's low, but it's in good condition. The Whakapapa River is at 8.2 cumecs, down from a high of 11.5 this week, and the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 16.8 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 30. The Tongariro, measured at Tūrangi, is at 20.4 cumecs, down from 22. It's pretty stable. Excuse me. Now, Met Service say a cloudy weekend with isolated showers is on the way. All these rivers are expected to rise slowly. Enjoy the fishing and be careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. We do appreciate it. Real-time monitoring, excellent websites. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Hooktown Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turangi area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. Stella is live on air with us now. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. You're well?
We're really good, thank you.
Okay.
Gorgeous day here today.
Good. Now tell us about the weather. Let's start with that. What's happening down there?
We have had forecasts right throughout the whole week, quite a lot of rain, which we haven't actually received at all. So it's been really a relatively settled week, other than a little bit of a sprinkle, which actually probably affected the Waitaki catchment, not so much north of the Tongariro. So that the Tongariro got a little bit of water, but apart from that, we got a sprinkle, and that was all. And we probably have been annoyed by the frequent gusts of northerly, nor-easterly, over the last 2 to 3 days, which has been a bit of a pain. But generally speaking, we certainly haven't got what we've had in the forecast. So we are quite lucky. We've got a very settled, very pleasant day today. But beautiful sunshine, where in actual fact we've had, forecast rain and relatively heavy rain too, which hasn't appeared at all.
Okay. Because you've got your own little microclimate there, haven't you? It's quite amazing.
We certainly have. And, I mean, we really are particularly dry, as you can well imagine, just like the Waikato. You know, there's just so many little pockets that just have etched out of the rain that, you know, the rain bands that have actually been forecast. So it's just life, it's just the way it is. But I do see in the longer term forecast, I think there was quite a bit of rain next week. So, okay. But once again, that can change quite quickly.
Okay, now your local river, the TT, I see that's down to 0.1 of a metre.
I know, it really is. It's like a trickle.
Yes.
And, you know, you go over and you think to yourself, I've been sort of kicking myself this week, thinking to myself, well, I've been really busy, but thinking to myself, well, I really do need to get onto the water, especially the TT. But really, in reality, it is so desperately low, and it's certainly the car park's been very quiet. So, like any of those small streams, Waitaka, Waimarino, Talantaka, or anything north of the Tongariro, are all in, you know, dire need of some, you know, really good, consistent, heavy rain, which will wash the debris that's sort of starting, the little bits of algae which are beginning to build up, and bring some fish in. There's no lack of fish that are out holding, but certainly not moving.
They need some encouragement to move upstream.
They certainly do.
Yes.
There's certainly been some movement in the Tongariro, there's no doubt about that, and they certainly had a few QMAX in the early part of the week, which you know, has allowed anglers to get on the water and, you know, still using the hopper dropper with a dry and a small, you know, natural pattern underneath it, you know, varying your lengths of the leader. And pretty consistent, you know, for those that fish often and have been fishing across the reef and around water, especially the lower middle reaches. So, you know, there's certainly fish there, but only in really the streams that have got volume, and obviously the Tongariro has.
Yes. I see Tongariro, it's still low. It's around about 1920 at the moment. Yeah. Down
that's
from
right.
it only peaked at 22 this week, which is not a big variance, is it?
No, a sprinkle. Yeah. Actually, I walked the Tongariro today just to see, and there's certainly fish. You can see fish. There's no doubt about that. But it is interesting that no anglers, so it's a perception more than reality. So for those that are locals like ourselves who really have maybe a bit to fish, we've certainly found that in the lower reaches of the Tongariro and the middle reaches, there are some nice fish, and there's also a lot of small fish which, you know, are still quite active and prepared to take a dry. So, you know, daytime temperatures are still good, and nighttime temperatures, so very pleasant fishing. And, you know, there's quite a number of browns in the lower reaches too, so just, you know, an intermediate with a woolly bugger or a darker fly rabbit and just on the swing.
Okay,
so there are fish there to be taken if you're prepared to fish to the conditions.
That's strange, there's not many anglers. I thought before the school holidays would be ideal to get in now.
Well, simply because we've had no rain, and most have the perception that the fish aren't moving, which in reality they haven't yet. Every other year last year was probably not dissimilar, but in recent years we've had, you know, the weather has turned very early. So once it turns to the south, that's where it stays. Once those temperatures drop and the rain comes in, the fish come in.
Okay.
You know, the lake temperatures are so warm, daytime and nighttime temperatures are so warm, so nothing's going to happen until such time as we have a change.
Oh, I get you, yes, okay. Everyone's waiting around for that, yes.
Fair enough. The lake fishing is desperately hard.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, you know, I'm talking about people that live here regularly, really every medium, so therefore they have downriggers, jigging, harling first thing, lead line, and still not actually picking up any fish. I mean, Pete's been out in the water all day today. They've had two fish, Western Bays, and the guys that are on the boat, they really do know what they're doing. I mean, they've fished here for, you know, 40 years at least, and, you know, it's not often that they have two fish in a day.
Gosh.
And, no, it is extremely hard, but then the water temperature is just, it really is extreme. It's very, very warm.
Okay, so what we find at the salt water, if the temperature gets too high, it loses oxygen, and
that's
the fish
right.
go to sleep, they go a bit...
Well, they certainly are deep. There's no doubt about them. I mean, the only fish that are being picked up today were deep, just on black cobies.
Yeah.
But there are not a lot of fish in pockets. So normally you expect, you know, where you've got waterfalls, especially where the waterfalls are, and where you've got streams emitting, even though it may be a smaller stream, you tend to find that most streams have the temperature is significantly cooler, so therefore you tend to find the drop-off is debris, and so there are fish feeding, but they're not feeding. They simply aren't there because simply the fact is it's just too warm.
Yes, okay, got to, yeah. But that will change, as you say, when you get a subtly change, it all kicks
in. That's all we need. I mean, you know, if you think of last year, 27th of February, we had snow. We actually, and, you know, the year before, mid-March, end of March, and once it turns, it's very hard to turn it back. So at this stage, we're still getting, you know, those very warm streams that are popping down through Tasman. So until such time as that changes, I don't think the fishing will improve greatly.
Okay, understand. So time to tie some flies, get all your gear checked out, cleaned and dried, all that sort of stuff, and get
Absolutely.
Ready for when it does change.
I must admit, though, you know, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, I certainly have been fishing Hatipi and also the little Waitatonga stream here. And although we haven't been getting many fish, we certainly are getting ones and twos. Nothing magnificent, but, you know, around the 3, 3.5 pound. But ones and twos, never any more than ones and twos.
Okay.
And no one else fishing. Absolutely nobody.
Gosh, that's amazing, isn't it?
That is interesting, isn't it?
It is. Fantastic. Lovely to catch up. Now, just before we go, River Mouse evening, how's that going?
I fish Waitatonga Stream, which is obviously just a hop, skip and a jump from where I am, and I've fished most evenings that I've been able to fish, which, especially over the last 10 days or so when we've had that new moon, absolutely magnificent night. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Really good, very strong, cool rip. Few fish, not a lot of fish. Once again, the water temperature is just so warm, but naturally that stream is very cold, and ones and twos. only ones and twos, okay. And not every night by any means of the imagination. And, I mean, you can do everything. You can change your fly. You can change the leader. You can move. There is just simply not a lot of fish that are moving. Okay. The slightly larger males, the TT, even the guys in the boats have not really got much off the drop-off, but we have fished Hartepi and absolutely no other anglers, but, you know, they are at the very end of the rip, so a big long cast and lumos, and we've had the odd fish, and reasonable fish, but still small.
But it's still a lovely way to spend an evening, isn't it?
It's amazing. It doesn't really matter whether you catch a fish or not. I mean, the Milky Way, the birds, it's just, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great area, isn't it? Yeah, well done.
It certainly is.
Lovely to catch up. Thank you, Stella. We do appreciate that. I'd like to talk to you next week, too, if we can.
Most welcome. I'll be here. You take care and have a great week.
Thanks, Stella. Take care. Thank
Lovely.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Stella Gordon, talking about Taupo Tūrangi fishery. So, fish around, but it's hard work. You pick up one or two here, but you're not getting big numbers. Not a lot of anglers around. Everyone's waiting for the southerly change. Temperatures plummet, water temperature drops, fish start moving. Bit of rain next week, so that'll be all very good. Okay, appreciate that. Okay, let's have a break and then see if we can get hold of Bert Robinson in Rotorua.
To say I'm not magic, don't hold the world in my hands. Wish I could fly through the air like a hero, but I'm just someone who loves you. That's all I am. Wish I could take you away to a palace, make you the queen of the land. All the riches and gold, I don't have them. I'm just someone who loves you. That's all I am.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, Bert Robinson, he's an interesting character. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident. But more importantly, he's an even longer time Rotorua angler. Rumour has it that he used to live in another town, but he moved to Rotorua for the fishing. I believe it, actually. Bert Robinson's actually live on here with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Hey, Colin.
How you well?
You hanging in there?
Hanging in there, that's good. Okay, let's talk about the weather in the last week. What's happening and what's going to happen?
Well, we had quite a bit of rain yesterday, but it wasn't really heavy. It was continuous for about 4.5 hours, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And nice drop of rain it was. Coloured up the lower Nongataha a little bit, but it was still definitely fishable, so it would have been perfectly fishable up at the top end. The Waitati was not affected. The Utahina was mildly affected. So it looked pretty good. I managed to get out last night and spend a bit of time with a couple of anglers from Tauranga who had come over, and we fished the Waitati mouth.
Yes.
Still a few browns out the front, not many rainbows. They're coming and going. Not many in the hole itself, but there's been a few going up the stream from time to time, and I suspect that it looks like we're going to get a bit more rain now or shortly overnight. So it may well be that we will have some fresh runs coming up there pretty soon. Lake temperatures are still pretty high, still up around over 20 degrees, but they are dropping consistently now, so that's a really good sign. Last Saturday, I spent the day out at Rerefakaitu with the Tarring Anglers Club, members of that, and man, there was some great fishing to be had out there. The top temperature was about 21 and a half. The 13 metres was about 19 and a half. Fish everywhere. There were fish on the surface early morning, during the day, and another spell in the evening. So there was quite a few fish caught, mostly around about the 3.5 metre mark seemed to be where they were. Okay. And there was a big bunch of fish, a school of fish holding off off the bay opposite the main beach.
Okay.
So those that got into there, there was a big sandbar there, and they were on one side but not the other. So I'm wondering whether there was some sort of cooler water in there, a bit of cooler seepage. Yes. But all in all, they had a great time. I didn't catch up with anybody on the Sunday, but I know on the Saturday I saw about 20 or 30 fish that were caught by mostly harling, but quite a few that were sort of drift fishing as well. So there was a few caught shore-based. Now, the lake has dropped about 600 millimetres, which is quite significant. The jetty, for those that know, the jetty is out now, sort of well out of the water.
Is that a
so
great
ride? That's looking quite good. Quite a bit more shoreline access, particularly down at the dock camp at the off Ashcott Road, which is where they were, the majority of them were staying, and somebody had a big clean up down there and taking out a lot of willows and stuff, so it's quite good access to the shoreline now in a number of places, even the lake being quite so high.
Okay.
So it was a pretty good time they had out there, and surprising though for the temperature of the lake. And one of the other surprising things that they discovered out there, which is not uncommon for that particular lake when it gets so hot, was the freshwater jellyfish in quite big concentrations in certain areas of the lake. So that was, a lot of them were stunned by the fact that there were actually jellyfish in the water, but I was able to explain to them about what they are and what they do and things like that. So, yeah, it was certainly an interesting weekend.
I'm not familiar with freshwater jellyfish. Are they in all lakes?
Possibly by now. It's hard to say. They're certainly in the hydro lakes. They do require quite warm temperatures.
Okay.
To go through their three stages of life. They are a freshwater jellyfish. They originated from the Yangtze River in China, I understand, and were brought out here by the early members of the Chinese society that were brought out here to work the gold fields, and they came out in the back of lotus and other aquatic plants that they brought out from China.
They've
been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
They do have a stinger, but there's been no verified times of anybody being actually stung by them, but they have the ability to do that, and they feed on crustaceans and small fish. So, and they are in quite big pods, so they tend to get blown around a bit, and they end up in pretty much all the same place. So you can quite often see quite big areas of them at times. They do require quite a high temperature, and of course Rerefakaitu got to that this year.
Yeah.
And I suspect they probably find them in isolated bays of the hydro lakes in various places as well. I know they're in Arapuni, so they'll be downstream of that as well, but probably get flushed out as well.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that. But yeah, the Chinese gold prospect, that's well over 100 years ago, isn't it?
Hey. Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, a lot of the plants that were brought in, we still use today as food and things like that as well. So,
now, interesting,
we
say,
did quite well.
Interesting to say that about Rerefakaitu. We've just been talking to Stella Gordon in the Taupo Tūrang area. Lake Taupo is very, very warm, similar temperatures to what you're talking about, Rerefakaitu. But what it's done there is fishing is very, very difficult. You're lucky to get one or two fish in an 8 or 10 hour day, and you've got to get very, very deep. But you're saying Rerifukaru is about the same temperature, 21, much more shallow than Te Apo, and there's plenty of fish around.
Well, yeah, they've got nowhere to go. And I think that's the difference, is that in Te Apo they can go down to 60 metres and find somewhere to hide. And I suspect that probably a large number of the fish in Rerifukaru would probably bury themselves into the weed to try and get some sort of shelter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the primary difference. And Lake Rotorua is the same. The fish are down, down at least 20 metres, and that's where they're finding that colder water. So if they've got access to it, they'll go to it. If they don't have access to it, they will try and survive as best they can.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that there are very few fish that can actually regulate their body temperatures, so you end up with fish that have something wrong with them, or a bit weaker, not as strong, not haven't had as much food, will actually die. Plus the ones that tend to be on the skinny side are more likely to survive, and small ones are more likely to survive than the larger ones.
Oh, interesting.
So it's all to do with body mass and temperatures.
Okay. Well, and Stella was saying Te Apo Tūranga, they're desperately waiting for the big southerly change to happen to drop the temperatures. They need rain, and then the fish will start.
Absolutely, same here. Yeah, and we'll get a couple of good southerlies come through, it'll drop those temperatures, and we'll start to see all sorts of good things happening around the area.
Yes.
There will be, as I say, with Ngangatahau, Utahina and Waitati, there are fish going up there to spawn. But you'll probably find that with the lake temperatures being so high, there will be some fish coming in. More than likely, there's been one or two coming in now at various liberation points. But until that water temperature drops, we're not going to see much in the way of fish coming in at all.
Okay, now just going back to Rerifukaru, you mentioned the jetty's out of the water. Is that round at Brett Road?
Yeah. At the council camp, yeah.
Because that was underwater for an awful lot.
It was quite significantly underwater, in actual fact, yes. Now, I suspect that if Rerifukaru is fishing okay under those extreme conditions, then there's a possibility that Lake Okaro will do the same, although it's quite a bit deeper lake, so you may have to go deeper for that. But there will be fish coming up on the surface taking insects, probably either early in the morning, which is probably the more likely time, but also late in the evening. You may start getting hatches. You've still got plenty of dragonflies around. There's crickets around still. Cicadas are pretty much gone. But, there's still... the insect life on the lake at Rerifukaru was just incredible. There were all sorts of beasties floating around on the surface and fish coming up and taking them as well.
Oh, lovely. I like it out there. It's a lovely spot, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. But, Lake Napuri, which is probably only about half an hour's drive from there,
yes,
is another lake that is... Well, it's not crystal clear. It's got quite a dark colouring to it, but there's some amazing fish to be had in there. It is a significantly deep lake. You do need a boat of some sort to be able to access it properly, but you can have an absolute ball on that little lake, you could have 50 to 100 fish sessions in there quite easily, ranging in size from smallish fish to just undersized to I'd just been busted off for the fifth time sort of thing, some good fish in that lake as well.
It's all go. It's a great region you live in, isn't it?
Your comment about, and you heard a rumour, and the rumour was true, I did move to Rotorua specifically for the fishing.
I knew it was true. Good on you, Bert. Well done. Now, thank you for that. Your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm 0272896079. Just gives a call, text, and fill you up on what's happening around the area.
Here's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 0272896079. Thank you, Bert. Talk to you next week.
Okay, I'll be around somewhere.
Thank you, Bert. See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. Mr. Bert Robinson, appreciate that. Quick break, and then we'll see if we can get hold of Captain Matthew von Sturmer. to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Matthew von Sturmer is a saltwater fly fisherman. He's actually a charter boat skipper. Captain Matthew von Sturmer. Matthew enjoys fly tying, casting, teaching casting, and writing about the sport that he loves. Matthew's live on here with us now. Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening, Colin.
How you all?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, saltwater fly fishing. Give us a roundup. What's happened in the last week or so?
There's a definite sense of change of season. So I look for the signs in nature versus the calendar. So there's a little drop in water temperature. Things are sort of moving in different areas. The big one around my local waters, Waiheke, is we've had previously we've had a big input or big push of anchovy schools along the northern beaches, pushing along into the channels, and I'm now seeing there's a bit of a dispersion of the schools, and they're actually just beginning to, or the signs are there that the anchovies are in the sheltered bays, moving up into the estuaries and doing the quite mysterious life cycle. But I think that sort of indicates, a sort of an end of summer thing. And everything's following them.
Okay. So what happens to an anchovy? It doesn't grow up to be anything more than an anchovy, does it?
No. Little anchovies become big anchovies. I believe that they breed two or three times throughout the year, and I believe, I don't know, but I've picked up little snippets of information that there may be something to do with a freshwater salinity thing with regards where and how they lay their eggs or do their breeding thing. So the fact that they come into the shallow water, into the estuaries, where you sort of get a mix of salinity and there's a sort of a rainfall trigger.
Okay.
And then there's sort of, you'll see different school size anchovies moving around. So just recently in the last few weeks, I began to see some smaller schools of larger anchovies, which are probably the 3-year-old breeders.
Okay.
Where some of the smaller ones were sort of, middle sized fish that may be from previous seasons. So it's pretty interesting stuff, and when you contemplate how significant the fishery of the Hauraki Gulf is, the inshore fishery based around the life cycle and the movements of those anchovies.
Yeah, interesting. You talk about freshwater runoff after a period of heavy rain. So it does affect the salinity around the closer end of the shore, doesn't it? Does it put other fish off? Do you think?
The exact mechanisms that affect the anchovies I'm not so sure about, but for instance I used to see them right up in the Fowl Creek by Te Aratu, the beginning of winter, and these are large, quite mature anchovies, so it's not like the whitebait where they go and lay their eggs on the full moon tides in the grasses, but there's definitely something pretty important about those sort of margins, and as you say, the sort of the fresh saltwater mix. And in terms of other fish, I observe that kingfish are very salinity sensitive. So if there's a big enough rain, they'll just move out of that harbour water, and they'll be a little bit offshore. Snapper seem pretty tolerant, and they'll be mucking around in some of that sort of runoff, and hence, I don't know whether you've heard these stories, but some of the old timers, whoever they are, talk about big snapper taking wetters and things that are coming down some of the creek mouth. So the opportunities for fly fishing your mind starts spinning at that stage. But I can confirm that a recent rain, so you need a rain after a period of dry, okay, and so it's going to sort of flush things down, and that you've got relatively, you know, clean or salty water. And then with this sort of flush of fresh coming down the creeks, some of those creek mouths, you know, we've gone in close and just played the game of putting in some flies right on the edge of that, you know, clear versus dirty water. Hey. And sure enough, bang, 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 snapper are in there feeding.
Goodness me. So that's a good tip, Matthew. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those projects. You know, I always keep coming back to what a fan I am of snapper as a predator. Yes. But, you know, the idea of a 10-pound snapper crunching on some dry flies coming down a little creek mouth into a bay, completely plausible. You know, without doubt that would happen. It just needs some dedicated fly fisherman to go and do it, shoot it and put it on YouTube, and then we'll all be going, you know, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, well, you're just the man to do it, Matthew.
Oh, I've got so many projects. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I just keep being amazed how many projects there are once you start, you know, looking around and, you know, you put your basic skills together, your ability to cast and you move, you know, you go, and so it's, you know, presentation. So, and then you play around, you know, floating flies, sinking flies, small flies, but, yeah, you know, there's just so much to be done out there.
Mix it up until it works. Matthew, we do appreciate that. We've got 38 seconds to go. Can you tell us your contact details? How do people get hold of you?
Salt Fly Fish on Facebook and Instagram, and that's a website. And otherwise, 021-865593.
Okay, this is Captain Matthew von Sturmer, saltwater fly fishing in the Auckland region, 021-865593, or have a look at saltflyfish.co.nz. All the stuff's on there, gallery pictures, a Skype page. It's all bloody good, actually. Matthew, we do appreciate it. Thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Catch you soon.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you, Matthew. See ya.
Cheers.
Bye. Matthew von Sturmer, saltflyfish.co.nz. Now, there goes the end of the music. We've got 32 seconds to go, so we've now got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. A fly fishing tip of the week. Trout like to congregate near drop-offs. The rapid change from deep to shallow water provides quick access to food. Fish these areas first. There we go. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.